Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. I'm going to change my name. I know you know I'm Kathy, but let's get that changed. How's everybody doing tonight? I'm gonna let you all come into the room while I get myself set. All right. Hello, multifaceted Lorraine. It is your first time here. Welcome. So, for all of you who are new, hi Karen, I'm glad you're here too. For all of you who are new, this is open coaching on how to feel your feelings instead of eat through them. So, all you need to do if you want to talk about overeating in response to an emotion, all you have to do, Aloha Bernadette, is raise your hand and I will call on you and you'll come on screen and we'll talk. Okay, pretty easy stuff. But to begin, I have a few things to say. I have a lesson to teach. So I thought this was fascinating. I was, let me get my screen up here. Was in the Instagram. I'm kind of like Corinne. I like the Instagram. It seems to be that piece of social media that's, it's not like Twitter or some of those other things that are super negative. I cannot manage negativity. Well, I just run from it. It is, it does not feel safe to this old girl. So I like the Instagram. But anyway, I saw this post on Instagram that I thought was so good for this call. And it talked about the seven types of rest that help prevent burnout. And I want to say that if you work on these seven types of rest, you will also work on your emotional eating. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what the seven types of rest are. And if one of you would self-appoint to write them into the chat, in case people need them, that would be amazing. I know Karen's good at this because Karen's done this for me before. So, seven types of rest. Number one is physical rest. Okay, physical rest. That means sleeping your 7 hours, doing some yoga, getting a massage, stretching, anything that physically rests your body, dropping your shoulders. Allowing yourself to slouch a little bit, creating, loosening the tension in your body. All of that is physical rest. So that's number one. Number two is sensory rest. That's taking a break from screens, social media, emails, TV, anything blue light, anything that's very sensory rest. Okay, makes sense, right? Number three is mental rest. Mental rest would be giving yourself the opportunity to focus on your breath, your body sensations, what's going on somatically inside your body, inside your nervous system. Okay, mental rest, getting out of your head and into your body. Number four is emotional rest. This is a good one. This is cutting back on people pleasing. Cutting back on anticipating what other people will think, cutting back on your dependence on others to create moods for you. I'll be happy if they're happy. Wonder what they're thinking. What if you were to give yourself a break just for 5 minutes from those things, emotional rest? Makes sense, right? Number five is spiritual rest. This is more about your brain. Meditation, maybe praying if you are a prayer, connecting with nature, spiritual rest, number five. Number six is social rest. This can either be, if you're like me, taking some time in a room by yourself just to be with you in the quiet. If you are an extrovert, it might be spending time with people, but the people that you feel good being with. Okay, how can you give yourself a break socially so that you're not pressured to be social? Okay, so social rest, number six. Number seven is creative rest. And this is actually doing something rather than resting for something. But creativity regulates your nervous system. So listening to music, painting, writing, going out in nature, working a jigsaw puzzle, that's rest for me. It's so interesting because my husband loves to work. We get these 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles. He loves to work them. Well, I have discovered why he loves to work them so much. If I go downstairs and I spend just 10 minutes in that jigsaw puzzle, it's like I've given myself a break. I've given myself rest. I will tell you that many times when you're hungry, you think you're hungry, it's because you actually need a break from whatever you're working on, whatever you're thinking about. Your brain needs a rest. So if you create creativity regulates your nervous system. So if you try one of these seven types of rest just for a few minutes each day, then I bet you start to see the temperature come down on the stressors and the pressures. Okay, so I'll go over them again. Number one is physical rest. Number two is sensory rest. Number three is mental rest. Number four is emotional rest. Number five is spiritual rest. Number six is social rest. And number seven is creative rest. Okay. Now, why do I study all this? Why do I think about all this? Because to me, when I am able to think about what my body needs, when it comes to rest or it comes to feeling my feelings or doing hard things, then I have filled a gap that food used to fill. Okay. And that's really important in my life. And I bet it's important in your life too. Because when you're able to fill the gaps of what you really need with something other than food, guess what's going to happen? You're going to lose weight. Right? So I want you all to think about that and think about how, is this call, is that kind of information something that you can integrate into your life to help you lose weight? And of course, if you want to do the deeper work, you probably all got that email today about these group coaching programs. Lazy's is about goals. Mine's about understanding your nervous system and figuring out how to feel more feelings without eating. So think about that. Think about, is that something that I need in order to move my weight loss along? Okay. And I can answer, if y'all have questions about it, I can answer them at the end of the call. But I just wanted to, take a minute and tell you, you got an opportunity. There's still slots in both. Think about it. Okay. All right. Let us get to some coaching. Let us get to some coaching. I have one hand raised and we have an hour together. So if you want to talk to me, raise that hand. All right, Debbie, you're coming up. Trudy says, Trudy was in my program. Your program was so good that I'm doing it again. Yep, she's a repeater. I love it. I love it. Can't wait to dive in the second time. Susan said these programs have been around before. So both were offered at the last camp. And because they sold out at camp, they didn't go to the entire membership. All right. Hello, Debbie. How are
Hi,
you?
Kathy. Well, I've been better.
What's up?
So thrilled to see that you were coaching today. I noticed last year that my nervous system was on like high alert. I had two hip replacements, and ever since then, my startle response has been through the roof. So
Interesting.
since
Okay.
then, I've been trying to do things to calm me down, practicing some meditation, even listening to even some tapes and stuff. I've gone to a doctor who does some things that helps. But recently, we've had a family crisis with my daughter. I won't get into specifics, but I re recently realized that I'm blaming myself as a mother, but I have been like, and I've not binged in a long time. I've been binging. I just feel so totally out of control. It's like someone's possessed my body and I don't even know who I am anymore. I'm trying really hard to now reconnect because I realize what I've done is I've completely let go of all I've learned from nobody else because I'm just in a total stress mode. Because my daughter's on drugs and she's 43 years old and her soon-to-be ex-husband got her on these so he could control and manipulate her. And it's just she can't function. And so I'm terrified I'm gonna lose my daughter. And yet I do. Years ago I went to Al-Anon. I know that I have no control over this. I can only control my behavior and my participation, my prayer life, and I do have a close relationship with the Lord. So I do have a good support system of friends, my wonderful husband, he's there now with her. And she's in California, I'm in Nevada. But I did sign up for your 12-week class because I know
Oh,
I need
wow.
more than anything.
Okay.
But I need at least a baby step of calming myself down. I need a beginning
Okay.
somewhere because I'm just leaping all over the place. I really am.
Okay. Tell me, what is the when you think about your daughter, what is the predominant feeling? You mentioned terrified. Is that it, or is there something else?
Well, she can't function. She's going to lose her home. I'm afraid of that. And I'm afraid that if she loses her home, that it's going to make her go inward even more. She is manic now. She's never had that. But again, he got her to use drugs and I believe she's off drugs now, but she's using hard alcohol. Before she married him, at most she would drink wine. That's how much she has changed. I don't even know who she is. And for the first time as a mom, I don't know how to help my child.
Okay.
So I
So
have talked to a counselor.
good. Good.
Yes. And she's talking to a counselor. And
Okay.
she has recognized that she's manic and that she needs medication. So those are all wonderful things. And that is helping a lot. But still,
Okay.
now I need to look at me and help myself.
Yes. Yes. You are exactly right. You are not going to be any help to her unless you are as regulated and calm as you can be. Now,
Exactly.
I say that with the caveat that Lori is
I just saw Laurie's comment too.
you need to talk to Lori. So I don't think Lori will care, but Lori and I coach. Okay, she's one of my private clients. And we talk a lot about how you have to make sure your needs, you are taken care of so that you can be the person that you want to be with your child.
Exactly.
Okay. And it
Yes.
could be, it doesn't mean that you're going to surround her with love and hugs. Sometimes you have to, your loving situation is you set boundaries. Sometimes it's something
Yes.
else, but you have to put on your own. I mean, it sounds so trite, but you really have to put on your own mask first
Yes.
before you can help her.
It's just
And
like being in the airplane when they tell you to put on your
yes,
oxygen mask. It's
exactly.
exactly like that. And so I
Yes.
do understand that and I agree with
So I'm really, really glad that you acknowledge that. Okay.
Yes.
So to give you the first steps, I think you have to, when it comes to fear to, and terror, feeling terrified is fear, right?
Yes.
Fear is a protective mechanism. Okay, that's your body looking for protection. If you can wrap it in fear, that means you're immobilized. You can't do anything.
And I
Right?
have
So,
felt very numb. I have felt very numb.
yes. So if you feel the fear and you acknowledge it and you move about understanding it, then you've actually wrapped it in a little bit of self-compassion. Of course, you're fearful for your daughter,
Yes.
right? Of course, you're her mom. You want what's best for her. And if you can love yourself into understanding that, then understanding the fear and the worry that comes with it about, what her future is going to look like is also wrapped in knowing yourself and wanting and loving her. So it's almost like grief, right? It's almost like you're grieving the person she used to be,
Yes.
but you're also loving her while she's here and understanding yourself so that you can be the person that you need to be for her. And I think that's where it starts. It's just, and we'll talk about this a lot in the program. I can even tell you it's later in the program, these weeks, that we talk about emotional resilience. But one of the things that we talk about inside the program is how to wrap safety around feelings like fear or stress or anxiety. How can we feel them and know that we're okay?
That's kind of complicated because I keep blaming myself too. And I realize that that's where a lot of the severe emotion is and painful emotional is because it's like I'm like, I should have been able to do something. Maybe I missed something, obviously, that I couldn't have guided her to make better choices when it comes to guys. Or, I obviously did something wrong as a mother in order for her to be in this situation.
Is that true though?
And
Obviously, is that true? How old? I mean, seriously. She was, when did she get married? How old was she?
well, it was just last year
Okay.
that she
So,
got
and
married.
how old is she now?
She was 42 when she got married, and she's 43 now. Yes.
Okay. Do you think can you take responsibility for a 42-year-old's decisions?
Rationally, I will say
Rationally.
no.
Yeah, let's talk with that rational brain.
Okay. Well, we have a huge divide here. We've got the irrational and the rational.
Yep.
My
So
rational
let's
is
talk.
so good. It's the irrational I'm struggling with. No,
Well, and
rationally,
that's
no. And my husband and I, go on. You were going to say, and that's the problem.
no, that's what happens. I was going to say that's normal. That's like cognitive brain versus habit brain, right? The rational brain part of you is like, of course I can't control what she does. I couldn't control it. She was 42 years old. She made decisions for herself. She's a stayed away. But your habit brain, that irrational, the part you're calling irrational, is trying to solve a problem. Why did this happen?
Oh, why did the oh?
Right? It just wants
I'm
to, this habit brain of yours,
analyzing it.
yes, this habit brain, this what you're calling the irrational part, all it's doing is trying to, it's seated in the motivational triad. Make things easy. Avoid pain, seek pleasure.
Well,
So
I'm
what
glad
it's
to hear it.
doing is it's making things easy for you. I know what happened here, Debbie. You're to blame. You should have, said something before she married him. You should have, when she was 14, you should have XYZ, whatever it is. It's just trying to solve the problem for you. Doesn't mean it's right.
I know, but we did try to get her to postpone the wedding. We saw so many signs that not only is a narcissist, he was a covert narcissist. And he did that to his previous wife and fiance, and now he's doing it to his girlfriend too, where he gets him on drugs and alcohol, and then he can control him better. And the bad thing is she's lost her job in the meantime because she was so focused on that. And now she's just not functioning. And so she will probably lose her home. And in the beginning, I fought that, but then I'm like, well, maybe this is just what she needs to do. It's just a natural thing. And of course, she's going to lose her home if she doesn't have a job. So that I'm doing much better with. It's this blame game.
Yeah.
And
And the blame game is just your brain trying to figure out what happened.
is the blame game what is causing my eating to be out of control, do you think?
Oh,
Okay.
probably, because one of the, when you're in the pit of self-judgment and blame, you've created an unsafe place for yourself in your mind. And your body just wants to regulate. It just wants to be safe. So it tries to solve the problems, tries to seek pleasure, tries to avoid pain, tries to make things easy. And what is the easiest thing to cover up the blame game? To binge. I know, Debbie,
That makes
just
sense.
binge.
Yeah, I have not binged on such a lot. I mean, I
Right.
just, yeah,
Well,
wow.
when you get, think about it, when you get way off of home base, when you get totally dysregulated and you don't feel safe and you don't feel calm, your body recognizes that. Your body, it knows that something is wrong. So it reaches for, how can I fix this? And it's reached back into
Yes.
your archives and said, we can fix this by eating. Okay.
That makes so much sense. So much
Yes. Yes.
sense.
So what we've done is we've normalized it for you, right? So
Yes.
you don't have to judge your reaction anymore. And now I've told you it's time to logically assess whether or not the thoughts you're thinking, the blame thoughts that you're thinking, are actually your responsibility. And when it comes to a 42-year-old, a state away, I'm going to offer to you that it's probably not your, you are not to blame for her decisions.
She's had a lot of traumas, and those are what were not in my control. I do know that.
Yeah.
Now, I do know I've been trying to practice a lot of what I've learned from you. Like I've been tapping, I find comforting myself. I tap on my chest
Yeah.
and I say like I am safe, or I have different things. But I find my body's resisting that like that now. Is that a kind of a normal thing when you're this dysregulated?
It could be that your body just doesn't know how to manage it yet. It could just take practice. Instead of just tapping, try your whole hand and press in just a little bit. See if that helps relieve some tension. There's another thing called butterfly tapping. You hook your fingers and you press in and you tap back and forth on your
Okay, I'll
chest a
try
little
that.
bit. You can try that. But it seems like what's causing a lot of your distress is what you're thinking. And until you
Yeah.
clean up some of the thinking and give your brain like a the ability to assess the thoughts instead of just believing them, that's probably going to help take the temperature down along with the somatic things that you're doing. You know, with the tapping or the pressing or the covering up. One of my favorite things to do, especially this time of year, is to get a warm blanket and just cover up in a warm blanket. I just feel so safe and secure. I have one right here behind me, behind my chair. Okay.
Okay.
But I think for you, the big thing is to allow yourself to be afraid. Of course, you're afraid. And to really kind of pull apart the blaming yourself. It's very easy to take responsibility for our kids. But when she's 42 years old and making her decisions a state away, there's probably not much you can do except
Not
take
really
care
my
of
path to be able
yourself.
to start to.
So that you're ready for her when she needs you.
And I have been able to be calm as I've talked to her. I've been there for her. And so that's really good. But I do kind of feel like I'm in the fight and flight mode, And so when I'm trying to go through these exercises, I just want to go, I need to run. I need to run. I need to run. And believe me, at my age, I cannot run very far. I can't even walk very far.
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
I
I
need to
get that.
start doing, I'll try some of the tapping and the butt and just try to calm myself down.
Yeah, you're probably trying to run from your own thinking.
I
And
am.
that's why having the conversation between the rational part of your brain and the irrational part is very important. I would even in your journal, write out a dialogue.
I've not been journaling.
Girl,
I have been fighting it,
then
and
that's your
whenever I'm
assignment.
upset,
Here's your
and my
assignment for
assignment
me. Okay. I
was okay.
want you to write out a dialogue in your journal. Start with, you should have XYZ, irrational brain, IB, colon. You should have done better, rational brain, RB, colon. She's 42 years old. It's not my responsibility. Irrational brain. Of course it is. You're her mom. You know, whatever the conversation is, write it out so that you get used to the rational part of your brain answering the part that's blaming and irrational. Okay? That's a good place to
I
start.
will. I will definitely do that. I won't say how much time. I will definitely do that. I
All
will do
right.
that
Well, you
too.
know, come January 20th or 21st, whenever our first call is, I'm gonna be like, "So, Debbie,
Did you do your homework? Oh,
I
good.
remember you."
Okay. Good.
Okay.
I need accountability. Thank you.
All right. And I will also say this, I'm a big believer in Naranon, Al-Anon, any kind of support, local support that you can have.
Yeah, I've been
Because,
on.
good. Because, you know, you can talk to a coach all day long. We can help you examine your thoughts. But those people have experience in exactly what you're dealing with and can really help support you. Okay.
Exactly.
I want to
Thank
see what
you.
Lori said here because she's my girl.
She's been saying all kinds of wonderful things. Thank you, Lori.
I want to tell you something. That Lori, she's a good girl. There is online Naranon. I can get you a link. Yeah,
Okay.
lean into the people that you can that can support you. Okay.
Thank you.
All
And thank
right.
you, Laurie.
You take care.
I will try.
Okay. All right. Anonymous says in the Q&A, what if my body wakes up after 6 hours of sleep? I guess you're talking about physical rest. My body does that too. I just lay there. I lay there and enjoy the rest. I enjoy my blankets. I think about how good it feels to be wrapped up in the warmth of my bed. And sometimes I fall back asleep and sometimes I don't, but I give myself mental rest if physical rest is not available to me in my bed. Suzanne, you are next. See if Suzanne's coming. You know, you got to hit these things on Zoom just right, or it doesn't work. Okay, Suzanne has declined. All right, so, Somya, I hope I'm saying that right. If I'm not, please correct me. You are next. How do I sign up for Kathy's class? I love that you asked that question. Let's see, how about if I just, while Somya is coming up, how about if I just drop a link in the chat for you? Let me grab it real quick.
Hey, Kathy.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Tell me if I'm saying your name right.
Yes, you got it so right. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so proud of myself.
Yes, and it's such a it can go so many ways, but you said it so close to how I pronounce it. I mean, the right way, I mean, the way that I've been used to being pronounced, but it's okay. It's a rose is a rose, right? I tell that to
Well,
everyone.
you know, I appreciate you saying that because I really I do.
I know.
I try to make sure I respect everyone, you know, and their
Absolutely.
names and all the things.
But I
So,
also understand it can be hard the way we are taught pronunciation here. It can be hard to get some names right. So, a fun one is Suzanne and Susan. I got it wrong for so long, even though it's English, right? Because the way the Z's and the S's are pronounced are such just different. All right.
Okay, so what are we coaching on? What's on your mind?
I'm not sure if I have something, multiple things going on. It's just one single thing going on. But here's what's going on. I have a lot of fatigue come up out of nowhere. I have a few doctor procedures and everything that are I have an I have an endoscopy scheduled next Monday. I'm taking iron infusions because my ferritin is very low. It's 0.8, so it's really low, right? And
There are just days that I can't. Like, I was working out with weights on Saturday and I was about to pass out. Like, I could feel my eyes flickering. So, I am struggling with. So, for me, it's becoming all or nothing. Either I'm exercising, I'm eating clean, I'm eating right, and I'm doing all the things, I'm drinking my water. Or on the other side, in the name of rest. Or when I'm resting, like today, I really took a day off because I had a headache, I couldn't sleep well, all and fatigue really hit me. So I did some gentle yoga, I ate right, but by evening time, I find that I'm overeating. I can be good, I can be on plan, not good. I can be on plan the whole day. But by evening time, I'm absolutely overeating.
Are you overeating on the days when you're all in, eating right, exercising, all the
No.
things?
No, I'm not, because exercise is very therapeutic for me. I love to exercise, and I have thought about this so much. I've reflected on this. I've reflected if it's an all or nothing mindset with exercise. But what I found that I really love that I can show up for myself that way. I love that I lift weights. My self concept is, I always wanted to be that person who lifts weights. So when I do lift weights, and I was doing good for a pretty long time before this fatigue hit. I was lifting weights. I could do a 50-pound deadlift and all of that. But now, if I do that, I think I'll pass out. And then, if I don't pass out, the fatigue is just going to be ridiculous the next 2, 3 days, and it's not worth it.
So you said something really, really interesting. You said, I love that I can show up for myself this way
Yes.
with regard to lifting weights.
Yes.
What if you just translated that to with regard to rest or paying attention to my health or paying attention to what my body needs?
The nuance here is I'm also a weight loss coach. I have my own clients.
So.
And I'm afraid I'm going to put the weight on. I'm really afraid. And I'm going to put the weight on. And then there are days when, if I'm not working out, my hunger signals are so low that I could eat a very small amount of food and that be it, right, for the whole day.
But
And
isn't that an amazing opportunity for you to think about how your body responds and what you need and how much food you need so that you can teach that to your clients?
yes, but then the other side, the logical brain then comes in and says, but if you eat too low, you're going to lose. Like, years ago, when I was so obsessed with eating clean and stuff, I went on this clean diet, okay, wherein I didn't eat anything processed. And I mean anything. I didn't eat a pizza, I didn't eat shredded cheese, you know, on those lines. I lost a tooth. I was so malnourished that my tooth chipped, right? So now I'm afraid that that is going to happen. Right? I mean, I'm going to repeat something. I'm going to lose a lot of muscle. I'm going to lose a lot of, you know.
You're afraid that's going to happen, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
That's true.
Right?
Right.
Do you have a crystal ball?
No, I don't.
Don't either. You know why? Because it doesn't work. It's so interesting to me when we worry about the future, we're actually dysregulating our nervous system, right?
Yes.
Because we're getting anxious, we're getting worried. And what does that do? It creates urges to regulate, which creates urges to eat, right? When you could wrap a thought around it, like, I have a little bit of iron deficiency. I'm getting it looked at. This is how I love myself and care for myself today. And oh, look, I notice that when I'm not working out hard, my appetite isn't as strong. That's such good information for me to note about myself and for me to teach my clients.
Yes. And I have followed through on most days. It's just that the worry is huge, and some days I don't even realize it's kicking in. Like, my since I've done some journaling, I've realized, oh, this is what I'm doing. I'm worrying so much about the future that I'm dysregulating myself.
Well, when you're so worried and so stressed about it and so upset with it that your urges to overeat come in because your brain and your body don't want to have to process that emotion. Okay. So what if you just sat with the worry and said and answered, this is that a lot of times worry has open loops.
Yes.
Worry has open loops, which means unanswered questions.
Yes.
So if you're asking yourself, what if I gain weight? What would the answer be? What happens, Somya, if you gain weight? What are you going to do?
Then the first thing that usually comes up for me is a lot of judgment for myself, and
Yeah,
I've been
but
through that, but
I'm not asking you what you're going to think. I'm asking you, what are you going to do if you gain a few pounds through this?
I'm going to find a way to get it, let go of it.
Right.
Once I feel better.
Once you feel better, you're going to
Yes.
figure it out.
Yes.
That's the closing of the loop. Okay. What are you going to do if they say you need to take an iron pill?
I'm taking an iron pill. I'm taking iron infusions. I'm on
Mm-hmm. What
the
is, okay.
I'm
So
juicing. I'm juicing.
you, when they said that, you said, okay, hit me up. Let's do the infusions. Let's do the pills. We'll figure this out, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. So when you close that loop, you don't worry so much. You're like, I know I can manage this. The thought comes in that I can figure this out.
And I think that's the trust that I don't have, that I
You
can.
don't think you can figure this out?
I can, but I don't have that belief that, I mean, the self-belief is not there. I do figure it out every single time,
Well,
but
tell me what the difference is. If you figure it out every single time, why don't you have the self-belief?
I know there's just some gap there. I have to fill it up with my thoughts.
Well, or it could be that automatic thinking is coming in that's saying, oh, this is bad. We should just eat. Let's make it easy for you.
Yes.
Right?
That happens. Plus, I think it's a worry that really disintegrates me. And I worry a lot about everything, about me, my husband, everybody's habits. I worry about my husband's habits. I worry and I over catastrophize so much. For the endoscopy, she wants me to get an advanced directive, and that really freaked me out. I'm like, oh my God, why do you need
For
an
an
advanced
endoscopy.
directive? Yeah.
So
Not.
every time I go to the doctor, I get this note in my app that says, don't forget to bring your advanced directive so we can have it on file.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm already thinking I'm dying. Something's gonna happen to me on the endoscopy table, whatever that is.
So is that so question it. I mean, really and truly, do people die from endoscopies? No, it's like they're sticking a tube down your throat, right? They're checking out your stomach.
Yes.
Very, they probably roll those people through like an assembly line wherever you're going, one right after the other. Let's do 8 or 10 of these, before lunch, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I think for you, it start. You have to start questioning the worries. You question the thoughts. Understand that, you know what? I do worry. I do think about the future, but I also know that it's not serving me because it's driving me to eat. I'm not taking care of myself when I'm worrying because I'm not present. Right? I'm
Yes.
sitting over here in the future thinking about an advanced directive for an endoscopy, and you're laughing about it, but it gets all in your system and it gets all pressurized and stressed out and worried, and I'm going to lose my business. You've gone from having an iron deficiency and an endoscopy to losing your business because you're going to put on weight.
Right. And I think I think there's also this thing about what kind of a coach I'm. I mean, all of that is coming up. All of that nonsense is coming up. It's just not the worry about the procedure and the kids and everything and what is going to turn up on the endoscopy or the colonoscopy, right? It's not just that. Like, it's everything just comes up. Woof,
Yeah.
woof. It's like, it's
Yep.
not, there's no layer there. Everything just, it's like a volcano bursting.
You know how I broke myself of doing that? I would tell myself, I'd say, you know what? You should have been a novelist because you can create some stories like nobody's business.
Okay, I'm gonna
I
say
had
that.
no idea it was so creative until I started listening to my brain.
Yeah.
Because just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. I remember exactly where I was when Corinne taught me that lesson. It was so impactful for me. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. Isn't that fascinating?
It is.
Your brain, did you see the movie Inside Out? I talk about this sometimes.
Yes.
Have you heard me talk about this?
I'm not sure, but I've watched.
Okay.
Inside Out.
So for all of you who haven't seen it, it's a Pixar movie. You know, it's a kids movie, and it's set inside of a little girl's brain. And all of her emotions are these little characters in the movie. So you have Joy, who's the main character, and she's upbeat and she's happy and she's doing all this all the time, right? And then you have, I can't remember what Sadness's name was, but she's blue. She walks around, she's got hunched back, right? Do you remember what her name was?
No, I don't, but I
It might have
remember.
been just sad. It might have been just sadness or something. Anyway, I picture our habit brains like one of those little characters, and they're in charge of the file room. And the file room is huge. It's all of our thoughts that we've thought our entire lives, because our thoughts get stored in our brain. And that little guy is back there and he's running through the thoughts and he's like, here, let's try this one. Oh, we should tell her this. Oh, wait, she might look, let's tell her she'll lose her business if she puts on a pound. You know, he's just back there, he's just throwing up random thoughts without thinking, without any kind of logic. It's the habit brain. It doesn't have logic. That's all stored here in the front part of your brain. So it's up to you to get with that file clerk and go, no, put that one back in the file cabinet. That one's not relevant here. I might need an advanced directive, but I won't need it for the endoscopy. It just needs to be in my file.
Right.
Because I've created one. I'm
Right.
not going to lose my business. I'm actually collecting a lot of really great information about how to manage a health situation while you're losing weight or maintaining your weight loss.
Right. Right. And that's
You
the, yeah, I'm on
have
the,
to invite your logical brain into the conversation.
yes. Okay. I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. Yeah. Because lately I've been at the higher end of my maintenance range. I'm 3 pounds of, I mean, if it's a 5 pound range for me, then I'm on the higher side. And that causes me to worry as well. Like, oh my God, I'm going to cross this now. I never cross it. For the last 4 years, I've never crossed it. Okay. I am usually at the lower end and just coming up these 2, 3 pounds, I've never crossed my higher end. And yet it's the puffiness on my face and it's the fat on my abdomen and all of that, and I'm just getting so conscious that, oh my God, I'm doing this, and because I just can't work out the way I used to. I just can't, and I just don't have the reserves anymore.
So right now, I can't work out the right way I used to. I
Yes.
would start with that. Right now, today's not the day. And if you're at the upper end, of your 5 pound range, and you were coaching, let's say you're coaching me, I'm your client. Like, dude, I am. It's all going to hell in a handbasket. I'm at the upper end of my maintenance range. Help me. What would you tell me? What would you tell me?
I would actually tell you to, I mean, the way I speak is talk about facts. I don't use a lot of adjectives when I'm coaching, because that intensifies our emotions a whole lot. If you're just speaking about facts and then you look at the data from so many years and you see that, okay, you've actually maintained this weight for the last these years. So whatever your brain's telling you is not true, right? It's just freaking out. We are over catastrophizing so we can calm the shit down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find, especially with coaches, when I'm coaching coaches, that the way you would coach a client is the way you need to coach yourself. That's the in you are inherently taking care of yourself when you're teaching your clients how you would take care of yourself, how you would coach yourself. So that's what I would suggest to you. If that's your way of coaching, that's probably what you need, is just to logic your way through it. Okay, we've got data. I haven't been above my range in 4 years. It's really, and you probably, if you are managing this iron deficiency, you're probably not exercising as hard as you used to anyway. So you've figured out how to maintain without exercise. Why not give yourself the credit for doing that?
Yes. I should give myself the credit of that.
Yeah. Because a little self-love, a little self-compassion, a little self-acceptance, guess what? Brings you back into home base and helps you feel calmer and more peaceful.
Yes. Because I'm absolutely at the point where I cannot, like today, I could not have moved my body any other way than yoga. Like that's the only thing I could do. I finally am coming back, right? So like tomorrow I can walk because I've taken.
Okay, y'all, is she frozen or am I?
Or did I lose you?
Okay, you're
Okay.
still here. I think you
Okay.
just froze for a minute. One of us froze.
Okay. Okay. So yes, I think yeah, I am frozen, yeah. So I think what you're saying is what I need to do. I just need to close those open loops and
And then go back into your data. And in fact, I would do that as soon as you get off this call. Go ahead and go back into your data and just look at, reassure yourself that you're going to be okay because you've modified your eating to match your activity level. And in doing so, you are caring for yourself because right now it's just not the right time for you to exercise
Right.
or to do the heavy bits of exercise. Maybe a few minutes of yoga or some stretching or something is exactly what's called for right now.
Right.
Does that help?
Yes. Yes.
And in the meantime, when you start to get really stressed and worried, remember to breathe. When
Okay.
we get agitated, when we get stressed and worried, our breathing gets really choppy. And that contributes to the fact that we're not oxygenating our bodies. So if we take a deep breath, we calm. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You okay?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Yeah, bye.
Okay. Let's check this Q&A real quick. Danielle says, what if you find that you're solving problems with food or wine, but you're not sure what you're actually feeling? Ooh, Danielle, it's a good question. If you're not sure what you're actually feeling, I have a couple of suggestions for you. There's a feelings wheel on the website. If somebody wants to dig out that link and throw it in the chat, that would be great. But one of the things we talk about in my program that is so good is an app called How You Feel. How, let me make sure. I want to make sure I get it right. How We Feel. And it is a black box with a rainbow heart on the inside. It's very easy to use. All you do is click it. It says you click check in, and then it asks you, are you high energy with unpleasant feelings, high energy pleasant, low energy unpleasant, or low energy pleasant? And then you select it, and it gives you this whole array of things you might be feeling. And if you click one, it describes it for you. I have mine set up to notify me twice a day to check in. And then it gives you, after a week, it gives you a whole range of, thank you, Dana, for the feelings wheel. It gives you a whole range of this is you were mostly in this zone this week, and you were mostly in this zone this week, or this time of day you were in this zone. It really helps you catalog and build the inventory of feelings that you're able to feel. So it's called How We Feel. It's a black box with a rainbow heart, and it's on Android too, because I had a client who used it over in Germany on her Android. Okay, Kara Smith. We got 11 minutes. Let's see what you got. I do have the feelings wheel in my program, in my workbook, in my program too. Kara, you want to turn on your camera and your mic?
Oh.
How We Feel is the name of the app. How We Feel. There you are. Hello.
There I am. Hi.
Hi.
So I'm not even really positive what my question is. I'm brand new to no
Okay.
BS. Like 1 week. And
Welcome.
yeah.
I'm so glad you're
So
here. And look at
yeah.
you raising your hand on a call
Yeah,
already.
why not? So And I've just been blasting through the modules, so I've pretty much finished everything. And a lot of things, so I don't have a lot of weight to lose, maybe 15 pounds, but I've had sort of a lifelong bad relationship with food, and including eating disorder as a very young woman, not recently, but when I was very young. And so what I've sort of noticed is that what's most distressing to me about my eating is that I seem to self-soothe a lot with food, and not a lot of food, but like constant grazing. So I'm grazing and I'm very automatically going to the fridge or the pantry for little things all the time. And I'm retired, I'm home. And most of the things that I do, I write some and I paint. And so I have a lot of things that I'm doing from home. So I have easy access to food at all times. And my kitchen is the place that's the most beautiful that I like to be in.
Yeah.
So.
Corinne talks about how she is in her new house. Her office is actually what was originally designed to be the dining room, so it's right off the kitchen. And I think at her old house, it was the same thing because they don't use the dining room. They have a big kitchen island and all that. And she talks about the proximity to the kitchen. She has to manage her mind around sometimes. But my question for you is this: are you grazing out of habit, or are you grazing because you're avoiding an emotion?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I've been thinking a lot about it. And I think it's, if I had to put percentages on it, I would say it's at least 60% habit. But I do feel anxious, and I do notice, like when I'm doing a difficult project, like when I'm painting, I never want to eat. I'm doing something enjoyable and I'm in the moment and I just am doing it. But if I'm doing something, I write as well. I write curriculum. And so when I'm doing that and I'm solving a difficult problem, I'll find myself getting up to eat. So
Perfect.
like anxiety, solving a difficult problem and anxiety. But I don't have a very anxious life. I mean, I have an easy retired woman life.
But
So,
that doesn't mean you don't feel.
yeah, no, I
And
do.
I don't want you to tell yourself, I shouldn't feel XYZ. I'm retired. No,
Yeah.
you're allowed to feel anything.
Yeah.
And if you feel anxious or overwhelmed when you're in a big project,
Yeah.
then your brain is probably looking for a break, right? It either needs to rest or it needs to organize.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the next step? So I'm going to give you a tool that I
Okay.
give out a lot. It's called pause plus permission. Okay.
Yeah.
And what that means is when you find yourself in the kitchen, this used to be me, 100%. I would find myself walking the house, going to the kitchen. I want you to say, I must need a break right now. Okay. And give yourself 10 minutes to do something other than eat. Maybe you go out and get the mail. Maybe you do you have a dog? Pet the dog, the cat. Yeah, pet the dog. Maybe you, where do you live? Do you live somewhere?
Ohio. Oh,
Ohio. Okay, so standing outside isn't a good
I
idea.
don't mind going outside. I love the snow.
Okay.
I love being outside.
Okay. Oh, well, if you love being outside, connect with nature. Look at the snowflakes. I was reading something not too long ago about how snowflakes in the air actually absorb noise. That's why that it's so quiet when
Wow.
it snows.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like they take up space from the noise. Enjoy nature for a minute, but give yourself that 10-minute break and see if you still need to eat. Don't
Okay.
tell yourself we can't eat, because that's a permission piece, okay? You're just going to take a pause and do something before you decide if you need to eat.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I will
Try
say that
that.
I've, but I've, and I can say that I also feel a lot of, so if I pause or sometimes I will put a sign in my pantry, you're not hungry, get something to drink. But I'll feel a lot of like interior, no, but I really want to eat something out of here. You know,
And that's okay.
it's a
You're
lot of emotion
because
about
you're
eating.
well, that's part of it. That's part of what you're breaking down. You've only been in the membership for a week, but that's part of what we work on all the time. And in that pause, your system either regulates, you realize that you're not hungry, or you realize what's actually bothering you that you can address. When you go straight to the eating, you're not addressing any of those things.
And I think I've been going straight to eating for 50 years.
Well, I mean, what else
Since I
do
was a
we
little
know?
kid.
Think about it. When you were a baby and you squawked a little bit, what'd your mama do? She stuck a bottle in your mouth, right? Had a bad day at school? Mom took me for ice cream. Got good grades? I get, candy, whatever it is. We've always soothed with food. Now you're pulling it apart a little bit to figure out what you actually need, right? When I had a bad day at school, I didn't need ice cream. I probably needed a hug. I needed somebody to tell me it was okay. So when you use pause plus permission, you're giving yourself the opportunity to figure out what the true need is. And most of the time when we're grazing, it's rest that we need. It's some one of those seven forms of rest that I talked about. Okay.
Talk about boredom for a second. I think I do a lot of boredom eating too.
What's wrong with being bored?
Nothing's wrong with being bored. I'm very good at doing
Then
nothing, but
tell yourself that. I'm good at doing nothing. I don't need to eat.
that's true. Or
Okay.
go find something.
Right. Go paint. Creativity is very good for you, very good for our brains, for our bodies, for our nervous systems. Any kind of creativity, journaling, painting, knitting, jigsaw puzzles, anything like that is very good for us. So you're on the right track.
All right.
All right.
Just wanted to be brave and raise my hand. Why not?
I love it. I love it. Love it. All right.
Thanks.
You take care.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye. All right, let's check this Q&A, see if there's anything else. I've been in binge mode and don't know how to stop. Where should I begin? Ooh, anonymous. Where should you begin? Start with pause plus permission. If that doesn't help, here's what I would do. When is Betsy's next call? Look on the calendar for the next time Betsy does a binge call. Or better yet, just go onto the website and Google, Google, search binge calls and take a listen to what Betsy has to say. A lot of times what we're missing when we're binging is self-compassion. And she always leads with that. Lori says next Tuesday, next week, there's a binge call. In the meantime, go listen to a couple of binge calls and see if Betsy, if you get any, well, Betsy always gives great advice, let's just be honest. But see if wrapping yourself in a little bit of self-compassion doesn't at least help you postpone the binge. Okay? That would be my in quick Q&A time, that would be my first thing to say. If anybody else has any tips for her, you can pop them into the chat. Let me look through here and see if there's anything else. Can you please say more about pause plus permission? So the pause I gave Kara a 10-minute pause. If that's too long for you, you can take 1 minute. But the whole point of pause plus permission is to interrupt the pattern, to give yourself just a little bit of clean space to say, what is my unmet need here? Am I truly hungry? If you're hungry, eat. But if you're not hungry, the permission piece of it doesn't put you into, if you give yourself permission to eat once you've analyzed, you're not in that restriction mode or that deprivation mode. So if you're using pause plus permission, you're giving yourself an opportunity to examine, but you're not taking away the food. That's the key to it. It allows you to discern whether or not you actually need the food, whether it's from a hunger standpoint or another standpoint. See if there's anything else in here. Rhonda's word of the year is pause. Yes, it's awesome. Awesome. All right. That's all I've got for tonight, y'all. If you have any questions about the program, email me at support. If you had a question tonight that did not get answered, please take it over to Ask Coaches. We love being here. We love being here for you. It's just part of what we do. It's part of who we are. So let us know how we can support you, and I will talk to you soon. Okay. Bye, everyone.